And basically, what does it mean to speak biblically? And what does the Bible say about how we should speak to each other? I've basically broken this down into three sections. You know, what does the world say about speech? And what does the Bible say about speech? And then how we as Christians should speak to each other. And what the world says about speech is that say whatever you feel. You know, say whatever you want, however you want to say it. You know, say anything to get attention. The world says the lies don't matter, and just say whatever. In today's society, with the technology that we have, with social media and other platforms, and email and texting, and that people feel entitled to say anything at all, and with total disregard to what chaos they may create with what they say. And a lot of people feel entitled to say anything. It's just not necessarily with verbal speech that this is limited to, but through emails and your texting. And we've seen all kinds of examples of this in the media today. What does the Bible really say about it? And I've kind of broken that down into three sections, the good, the bad, and the ugly. I'd like to look at Proverbs 21:23. I'm going to be reading from the NIV. And it says, those who guard their mouths and their tongues keep themselves from calamity. And in Proverbs 13:3, those who guard their lips preserve their lives, but those who speak rashly come to ruin. And then we will look at Psalms 37:29-31. The righteous will inherit the land and dwell in it forever. The mouths of the righteous utter wisdom, and their tongues speak what is just. The law of their God is in their hearts. Their feet do not slip. And in James 3:2, we all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. If we keep our tongues in check and speak truthfully and wisely, we can have a less slippery walk on the path to eternal life. Though our tongues aren't the only way that can lead us astray. But I'm not going to go into that, and we've probably heard, our behavior and what we do has a large impact on getting to heaven as well. How many times have we let our tongues lead us someplace we don't want to go? We come home from work tired and cranky, and we snap at the wife or the kids, and we end up in a spat with them. And how many times have we said something that we've regretted? Or we get snarky with a coworker and, strain the relationship at work. Or get angry at the boss and yell at them and lose our job. there's all kinds of things that I know that we've done that hasn't been beneficial to anybody. The bad that the Bible says about speech. A fortune made by a lying tongue is a fleeting vapor and a deadly snare. That's from Proverbs 21:6. In Proverbs 29:20, do you see someone who speaks in haste? There is more hope for a fool than for them. In James 1:26, those who consider themselves religious yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. In these passages, we see that lying and hasty and frivolous speak produce nothing at all, nothing of value. I once had a coworker that liked to talk down to others and belittle them, and all in an attempt to puff himself up, to make him look better. And he looked at Ephesians 4:26 to justify his behavior. And he only took a little portion out of that verse. And what he liked to say is, do not let the sun go down on your anger. But that's a little bit out of the context. But he thought that that gave him the right to say anything he wanted and treat anybody the way that he wanted to. But if we look at that entire passage and put it in context, so Ephesians 4:25-27. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. This passage really means that we should speak truthfully. And if we are angry with someone, we should seek them out. We should reconcile it, regardless of who's right or wrong. We need to reconcile that dispute. And we're not to let bitterness and anger live in us, because that will give Satan a foothold. Now the ugly of what the Bible says about speaking and where that will lead us. And Proverbs 17:19-20 says, who loves a quarrel loves sin. Whoever builds a high gate invites destruction. One whose heart is corrupt does not prosper. One whose tongue is perverse falls into trouble. And in James 2:12-13, speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. And we're going to go back and look at Proverbs 13:3, which we've read already. Those who guard their lips preserve their lives, but those who speak rashly will come to ruin. As you can see from these passages, an unrestrained tongue can lead to severe trouble. And you could possibly spend eternity in the wrong place. Occasionally, sticking your foot in the mouth is embarrassing, but that's something we all do. But continually letting your tongue run wild can lead to a lot of bad things for yourself and others. People see what you say, hear what you say, and especially kids, they like to mimic what you say. And that could lead them down the wrong paths as well. Now, how should we as Christians speak? In Matthew 7:12, it says, so in everything, do to others as you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. Now, this verse speaks to all aspects of our lives, not just how we speak, but how we behave and how we treat others and how we conduct business. But if you apply it to the topic of speaking, for example, if you don't want somebody to talk bad about you, don't talk bad about them. Don't speak out in anger if you don't want somebody to speak angrily at you. Speak respectfully to others if you want them to speak respectfully to you. Now in Colossians 4:5-6, be wise in the way that you act toward others. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. So when it says here to speak with grace, it doesn't mean to go smooth talk somebody or to butter somebody up. It means be gracious to others. Speak what is spiritual and fitting for the situation. Be kind, be purposeful, complimentary, be gentle and truthful, loving and thoughtful. Being seasoned with salt in this passage, salt can sting when it's rubbed into a wound, but it also preserves, it purifies, and prevents rotting. Our speech should act as a purifying influence, rescuing conversations from the filth that so often surrounds us. So when you hear people talking badly in some way about somebody else, or if they're just being vulgar, try to steer those conversations away from those things. And, be truthful, be kind in how you do it. But we don't need any more of that kind of speaking. And if you hear enough of that, it begins to infect you as well. And you're likely at times to repeat things you've heard, whether they're true or whether they're correct, or, you know, and sometimes when you get angry, you have a tendency to say things you don't mean or don't like, but, you know, that what you say in those times can be influenced by things you've heard. Let's see. We should also use our speech to build one another up. In Ephesians 4:29-32, it says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. What may benefit those who, or that it may benefit those who listen, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for that day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ forgave you. Not only does building someone up benefit the person you're building up, but it also benefits those who witness you do it. In 1 Thessalonians 5:10 through 11, it says that he died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. In Proverbs 31:8-9, speak up for those who cannot speak up for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the right of the poor and the needy. It's also important to keep control of your tongue. In Psalms 34:12-13, who of you loves life and desires to see many good days? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies. In Psalms 15:1-3, the Lord says, who may dwell in your sacred place? Who may live on your holy mountain? The one whose walk is blameless and who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from their heart, whose tongue utters no slander, who does no wrong to their neighbor and casts no slur on others. In James 1:9-20, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak, slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce righteousness that God desires. And in Proverbs 17:27-28, the one who has knowledge uses words with restraint, and whoever has understanding is even tempered. Even fools are thought wise if they keep silent, and discerning if they hold their tongues. In these passages, we can tell that we are not to lie, not to slander, not to be quick to speak. But it instructs us to speak truthfully, to speak in love, and to speak with restraint. And we are to speak good, not evil. In 1 Peter 3:9-11, it says, do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you are called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. So how often when somebody says something to you or treats you in such a way that you would respond in anger or respond in kind, how often is that your first impulse, but you stop yourself and think about how you should respond and respond appropriately? And every situation is different, and everybody responds differently. But you can see here that we should strive to respond in a godly way. In James 4:11-12, brothers and sisters, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against his brother or sister or judges them speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor? Now, slander can take many forms. It can be, you know, telling lies about somebody, bearing a false witness against somebody. It can be just bad-mouthing somebody, you know, trying to put them down is a way to slander somebody. But in slandering them in a way, you're also judging them, which doesn't produce anything of value in a Christian life. In Matthew 12:31-35, it says, make a tree good and its fruit will be good, or make a tree bad and its root will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him. An evil man brings evil things out of evil stored up in him. And Luke 6:44-45 says basically the same thing. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from a thorn bush or grapes from briars. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. And an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. And we've seen a lot of examples of this over the last election cycle in all the political ads and in how people are discussing the politics. And you can tell by listening to people what kind of a person they are, whether they're godly or ungodly, by how they speak about those things. And it doesn't have to be about politics that we talk about, but if you're angry all the time and cussing people out, that's a representation of your heart and what you feel, what you embrace in your life. And, you know, we've all heard, you know, been around people that have told coarse jokes, which is not a godly thing to be doing and repeating. But if that's the kind of thing that you're around and that's what you participate in, that's going to be what you speak about. So if you want to exhibit a Christ-like life in how you speak and treat each other, you know, you need to be in the Bible, you need to be in the church, and you need to fill your heart with what's good so that you can speak good and you can speak truthful to others. You know, sometimes it's hard to know what to say or when to speak up about something, but in James 1, 5 and 6, it says this: if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. Now, I'm one of those people that in stressful situations have a hard time knowing what I should say and how I should say things. And it's good to remember this verse and to pray and ask God how you should respond, what you should say. And sometimes it can be in a situation where you're witnessing to somebody, or you're trying to calm down a volatile situation, you know, or if you're just plain tired when you get home from work, and you're not sure how to respond to the stresses at home when you get there, you know, just ask God for the words to speak. And then in closing, what I would like, we just need to keep our speech from resembling the speech of the world. Speak carefully in truth and love, building up one another. Listen patiently to others and don't be hasty. Speak what is spiritual, kind, gentle, truthful, loving, and encouraging. Be thoughtful. Remember, our goal on earth is eternal life in the kingdom of God, not only for ourselves, but everyone else. In Ephesians 4:14 through 16, it says, "Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love, and each part does its own work. As a body of believers, we have a responsibility to build each other up and keep each other within the body, support each other, and keep each other from sin." Thank you.